Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate, and more, all in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Gentiles.
He is using this time period to bring man back to himself. I don't care what pagan holiday you use. Actually, Easter is more potent than Christmas. Christmas, Satan has Santa Claus dominating. And we must preach the gospel in season and out of season. I don't care what holiday it is, but we can use Easter. The churches across America can use Easter to get the message out if it's the right church and if it's the right gospel. So God used something that was negative and created a positive. He used something that was evil. Now, actually, I wouldn't consider it evil if it's a pagan holiday, but he used something that was secular and turned it into something of value. So now we celebrate Easter. And the beautiful thing about the Easter Bunny, he does not have as much effect as Santa Claus does. And technically, the Easter Bunny could be, there's no such thing as Easter Bunnies who lay eggs. That's just a cultic pagan holiday of a goddess who lays eggs. Wow. So the earthquake today, getting back to the earthquake today, was a sign. Every time you see an earthquake, it should be a reminder. And this is not in the Bible, but this is what should be a reminder of the resurrection. Because one day, Jesus will shake the whole earth, and the dead will Christ will rise first. Because every time there's a dead person arising, a lot of times, especially in a group of people arising in the Bible, there are earthquakes. And people were seen after Jesus rose from the dead. People were seen walking around that were already dead. And this is going to happen again. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Though somebody was dead, they will live again through Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. And it was finished on the cross. That should be the greatest message on Easter, is that it was finished on the cross. Now, I don't know if anybody hear me out there. I don't have anybody in the chat room, so there's probably no way to find out. So the only way I can find out is to actually go to the episode and find out myself. And that is exactly what I'm doing. So you might hear me double talk if I am on the air. If I'm not on the air, you're not going to hear anything. But this is very important that I know. Okay, so I am on the air. So I just heard myself. So that's great. That's great. So now I can continue on. God is working in the lives of men and women. Even though men and women saying today there is no absolute truth. Are you absolutely sure there's no absolute truth? There is absolute truth. It is called Jesus. And he says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So they're saying that there is no absolute God. They're saying that there is no absolute person who holds the covenant on truth. Even in human organizations down here, in human environments, there is someone who holds absolute rule. And let me explain. In your household, there's somebody who holds absolute rule. Unless you have a frat house, there's always somebody who has some type of rulership there. In a hotel, there's somebody who holds absolute truth. In the army, in a high school, in a Boy Scout meeting, there's somebody who holds absolute truth. So with that being said, if there's somebody who holds absolute truth, then this creation that we have in front of us and all around us and in us and through us and in your water faucet and outside where the birds are flying and on television where the waves, radio waves allow you to hear the television, all creation has to have an ultimate truther or an ultimate person who produces the truth. And see, in the world's eyes, there is no absolute truth. They want to do their own thing. See, men say that there's no absolute truth to release themselves from the bondage of somebody who can lay their judgment. But see, the Bible says, once again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So God makes the rules. There's a saying on here, who holds the gold makes the rules. No, he who can throw your soul into hell makes the rules. How vicious do you get? And the same thing, to me, this is what gets to me. The Bible talks about the things that are in heaven and the things on earth. Or the things on earth are a mere copy of the things of heaven. Those things on earth are in heaven, and heaven is on earth. So what I mean by that is there are things that the earth and human beings get. For instance, let's say delegation. So God has different levels of angels that he commands. But he also created the court, but he commands. So there is a heavenly ranking, just as if there's an earthly ranking. So God has a, we are made in his image. So the world is also made in the image of heaven, sort of, in a way. You got cities and animals and whatever. But we can also look at when people say that the world came out of nothing. Well, the world came out of nothing, then who made the nothing to make something? Or if the world came out of nothing, can you try not showing up to work tomorrow and then your boss calls the house and says, well, what happened to you? Well, I thought that I can send my spirit to produce something out of nothing, and now you're fired. Can you imagine telling a high school student that he can produce a high school diploma out of nothing? Now, there are some internet fake diplomas that you don't have to do anything for, but it turns out to be a scam. Or try getting your son a remote control airplane that he has to build, and then say, no, son, leave it in the box. He says, no, I want to play with it. Leave it in the box. And in about a year, it's gonna turn into the plane that you wanted. But why are you just kidding? Give me a plane that's already put together, because I want you to see that the plane is gonna happen by accident. Or try your house, not cleaning your house. You think your house is going to get cleaned by accident? I don't think so. Your house is going to need to be cleaned. Your house is going to have to be cleaned. And if you think life is by accident, there's a lot of people who think they can get rich just by not doing anything. Because they want to use the Big Bang Theory on their whole life. Can you imagine that? Saying that you can throw, you can go down the street and come back, walk down the street, come back, walk down the street, come back day after day after day, you're going to lose weight. But sitting on your couch, you're not going to lose any weight. It just don't work that way, folks. It just don't work that way. And God has made this world that we will have to plow and subdue the earth for it to grow. Even the natural laws of business, you have to apply yourself. Or the natural laws of just cutting your grass, making your fruit grow in your garden, it's work. Or cleaning up your house, it's all work. And if you think everything can come by accident, just like everybody else thinks the world came by accident, they have no accountability to anyone. That's crazy. That's just a dangerous, dangerous way to live your life. God is wanting us to live our life with some sort of accountability and our time. Now, as far as Easter is concerned, Jesus is risen. He is risen, and he is conquered death, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting to bring all things to completion. And I believe that we are close. Now, when I say exactly how close, I just believe that we're close. Now, Jesus paid the price for me and you. He died on the cross for our sins. And right now, I'm going to talk about the power, that resurrection power that God had put inside of that tomb. And God himself raised Jesus from the dead. So that power came out of that tomb, and Jesus came out of that tomb, and people are freed from devices and sins by the same power that brought Jesus out of the tomb. Now, where did that power come from? Well, it came from God the Father. God the Father is responsible for raising Jesus from the dead. And God the Father is working his work by his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit, into the world. And men and women are being saved. Now, Jesus has given us power to not sin. Now, what are you talking about? Let me put another word in there, to not practice sin. Now, it's a key verse in Mark 10:29, and it says, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or child or children or land for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive a hundredfold, not in this time, house and brethren and sister and mother and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. It is so important that we get a hand in the grip on this. Now I'm going to read that verse again, verse 30, Mark 10, verse 30. It says, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, house and brother and sister and mother and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. So it's almost as if it's a great deal. Because God is saying priorities are important. So we put our priority in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we stop pornography? How do we stop masturbation? How do we stop sexual addictions? How do we stop doing drugs? How do we stop doing alcohol? How do we stop cheating? How do we stop lying? How do we stop cheating on your wife? And how do you know? How do you get the God? The Bible says, "Do not let lust reign in your mortal body. How do you get rid of that? God has not changed anything. We are still self-willed agents. What a man's treasures are, there so his heart lay also. We must get a heart change. We need a heart surgery. We also need brain surgery, spiritually. And God is the only one that can do that by the reading of his word. If you're a football player and you come up to somebody and say, oh, I want to do better, what do you think they're going to amount to actually say? They're going to say you need to put the work in. Now, I'm not talking about work through salvation. I'm talking about the work, the commitment. And let's read verse 29 of Mark 10, 29 again. And it says, and Jesus answered and said, now let's go back actually. It says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. So Peter is telling Jesus that, sir, we have left everything and we followed you. And he was referring to the rich ruler, the rich young ruler that encountered Jesus. And in verse 17 of chapter 10, and Jesus was said to the rich young ruler, it says, why call thou good? He's talking to one of the Pharisees. He's talking to the rich young ruler. He says, and Jesus said unto him, why call thou good? There is none good but God. Thou knowest the commandments, not to commit adultery, not to kill, not to steal, not to bear false witness, or defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, take up your cross, and follow me. Deep, deep. That is deep, folks. This is why people cannot quit masturbation. This is why people cannot quit grabbing a 40-ounce. This is why people can't quit looking at women. And I'm stepping on my own toes. And I'm not talking about going around lusting after women, but trust me, it's a habit that God has to burn out of you, sear it out of you. But the Holy Spirit and the Word of God will work that stuff out. It says, take up your cross and follow me. Now, when Peter was walking on the water, and he took his eyes off Jesus, and he sunk. Our commitment must be to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep our heart on Jesus, to keep our mind on Jesus. That's why I say, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. You need a brain surgery. That's why it says, if a man believe in his heart and confess in his mouth the Lord Jesus, he'll be saved. It's a heart surgery. We need brain surgery and we need heart surgery. We're in bad condition, folks. We in bad condition. I may have to hang up and call you guys back because I'm not using my microphone today because Blog Talk Radio would not let me charge. I don't know what's going on. I'm having credit card problems. But I'm still working on it. I may get hung up. I may have to call you back. But, excuse me. Now, we have to focus our hearts on the Lord. And it says in verse 23 of chapter 10, and Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? Now, riches, now let's not look at riches in this in the frame of mind he's talking about. Let's look at things. Let's look at idolatry. Let's look at all the things that would take us from God, which can be crocheting, video games, golf, your business, your schoolwork, digging in your nose,
constipation, you're taking your son, focusing on your son because he's the holy grail and he's going to get you out the ghetto. Anything that it could be your kids, it could be that you like to collect stuff, it could be that you just like to come home, relax, and get into your comfort zone. It could be you like clubbing. It could be you like going to church religiously. Anything that can keep you away from God, even in ministry. Jesus has to be the focus. We need a relationship with Jesus. And I'm going somewhere with this. Now, I'm going to make a show, and I'm also going to write a book, and I'm going to give y'all a sneak peek. And I'm thinking about naming it The Fruit, the Suit, and the 30 Pieces of Silver. Because if you look at Adam and Eve in the garden, if you look at Esau, if you look at Judas Iscariot, and if you look at people like Samson, and then if you look at people like Saul, and then if you look at people like who recovered from it, which will be like David, Solomon. And what does Solomon do at the end of Ecclesiastes? He says, ain't nothing you can do but to serve God. Emphasis is mine. Ain't nothing you can do but to serve God. That's the only thing that everything amounts to. That is the most important thing you can do, is to serve God. Nothing more. And let's look at all the devices that will keep us out or make us make the wrong decision, like the suit. I wanted to sleep with a girl from a club. I mean, you shouldn't have been in a club in the first place. But I wanted them to cheat on my wife at the office. I'm willing to beat my kids. I'm willing to cheat on my taxes. I'm willing to do these things. Or it can be something simple that I'm willing to sit on the couch and do nothing. See, people think we have to do all these bad things to go to hell. The road to hell is paved in many, many roads, many, many ways. The Bible says broad is the way, wide is the way, gates that leads to destruction, and many that be that find it. So the way is huge. The way is humongous. The way is not hard. You can cover your eyes. Of course, most people walk blind anyway, but you can cover your eyes and walk around, and your chances are pretty big, pretty easy to hit your target. If you want to go to hell. Now, if you want to go to heaven, it's a lot harder to hit your target because you actually have to focus on the target. You say, well, I thought God is supposed to do all the work. See, that's people's problem is, yeah, God's supposed to do all the work. Yes, yes. But your heart has to be given to God and your mind must be given to God. That's why he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. He didn't say half, buddy. Half it. And then you'll be saved. Because that's a wide gate. That's a big gate. The narrow gate is you have to put your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. You have to understand that his presence should be practiced. Not just, oh, he's in the building. No, he is in you and in the building. And he's in the room that you are. He's always there. This same God has given me directions. Not only is he in the room, and in me, and he's all in the building and all over the place and all over the world, but he is giving me directions. He's a personal individual in my life. And we should practice that. We should practice the presence of the Lord. We should practice the word of God. Now, God rules us through his word. See, I used to think that I need to listen to an audible voice and things like that. That's fine. Yeah, some people do get that audible voice. Some people get a voice in their heart or in their mind. most of the time it's from their heart, and it goes to their mind. Most worldly people get it from their mind, and it goes to their heart. And most Christians too, because the devil, so that's the warfare. The war is in the mind. What a man thinketh, so is he. That's why the Bible says, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the Word of God. So if you're not reading the Word of God, how do you know if somebody, the devil said, oh, your wife is doing this or your husband is doing that? How do you know? How do you know what's going on? So I thought this was called the prophecy. So are you talking about stuff that can be, or I can pick this up on the regular radio? So yeah, you're right. I'm seriously telling you right now that Jesus Christ is coming back pretty soon, and we need to get our house in order. But we also need to deal with sin that is running rampant in the church. I have a magazine here from Newsweek, and it's called The Decline and Fall of Christian America. I got news for you, folks. America was never 100% Christian in the first place. If America was 100% Christian, I don't think we would have the problems we have today if it was 100% Christian. A Christian nation to me is that every individual, at least 80%, are truly Christians, not faking Christians, not survey Christians. And I'm not looking for any survey Christians. We need true Christians. Oh, I just went to the church, man, and I saw the preacher, man, out at the club, right? That's the second week after I saw him, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just saying, man, there's some shady stuff going around. Truly, some shady stuff. I mean, you got preachers that are homosexuals. You got preachers that are, and let me touch on homosexuality right quick. And I know this is the wrong day to do it. It's on Easter, but I want to share a quick. A lot of homosexuals get on Christians for judging them, and they say, "Well, it's my lifestyle. I chose to do this. I was born this way. God made me this way." And they forget that Jesus has said, "I am." I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then, when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, Jesus was back there. He was the same God back there saying, I am. So Jesus is saying yesterday, today, and forever. And homosexuals were running rapid and Sodom and Gomorrah. But that's not the way I want to hit it. This is how I want to say it. When they say that you can't tell us what's right or wrong, I'll tell them this. Well, I'm talking to heterosexuals as well as I'm talking to homosexuals. Homosexuals are committing fornication because they're not even married, and they're still working on trying to get married, but they're not even married and they're having sex. So even if you are gay and you are having sex, you're still committing fornication, even if you think being a homosexual is right. So, before you get on heterosexuals and say, well, they commit adultery, and they're also committing fornication. A lot of us doing it in the mind. See, it just takes one offense to send you to hell, buddy. And you can be just a homosexual, you're still going to hell because you lie. Still in cheating. And you're not repentant. So you have to repent for the homosexuality. You also have to repent for the fornication. God loves you. But you got to repent from all that stuff. You got to repent from fornication. If you think the homosexuality is right, then you have to repent, man. You have to repent. I'm going to end up calling back on another phone. I can almost tell because this phone, I charged this phone. But here's the deal on this: the homosexuals. God loves you, man. But the thing is, God loves the adulterer that's married. So here's the deal. When you guys say that I'm judging you, I say to you, you're right.
but not in the judgment you think it of. I'm judging you in a righteous judgment according to the word of God, and I'm telling you that I'm not attacking your homosexuality right now. I'm attacking the fact that you're not marrying, you're having sex with somebody that's not your husband or wife. So it behooves you to get married and live your life right now until it's time for judgment to come. What are you telling me? You're telling me to go through, be a homo? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm saying you might as well just have your heaven right now, because this is exactly what it is, heaven. I'm talking to heterosexuals out there that's cheating on their husband and wife, too. If you're heterosexual out there and you're cheating on your husband and wife, you're wrong. And you have to repent. I'm not just talking to homosexuals. I'm talking to heterosexuals. I'm talking about anybody out there sleeping with somebody other than their husband or wife, or a single person who is sleeping with somebody else other than their husband or wife, or wife. Now, getting back to the message at hand, in order for us to stop sinning, masturbation, and I keep saying that because it's running rampant in the church. I used to go to a church, folks, that preached that you can simulate sex and still go to heaven. And then they'll come up with a lie like, as long as you don't think about nobody. As long as I don't think about nobody, see the deception? As long as I don't think about nobody, so I'm simulating sex. If I don't think about somebody, then I'm good. So let me ask you a question then, church. This church says that I can do it and get away with it. Why would I have to do it if I don't have to think about anybody? Wow. And this church is all over the place preaching error. This is a touchy-touchy situation. Preaching error all over the place. Big time error. Little bit of error here, little bit of error there makes a big time error. Why do you think these earthquakes going on? All these earthquakes are not just happening by mistake, folks. We're in the last days. We are so close to the last days, it's almost scary. We are to the point right now that Jesus can come back this year or next year or the year after that. He's coming back very soon. My best guess is he's coming back pretty soon. And 24 months is a long time. Is it for real? This year is going by pretty quick. You really think 24 months is... So I don't know what God truly has on his books. But I know that God said this generation should not pass. In 1948, Israel became a nation. He said, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Folks, this generation is almost over. And 2010 September will be the time of the rapture. Yes, you gotta say what day. No, I'm not saying what day and hour. I am so sick of people telling me, oh, you don't know what day and hour. Yeah, you're right. I don't know what day and hour, but I know the general time frame. And what did he say? Quit. He says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, also distorted knowledge. So when you say at the door, if somebody's coming over your house and they're at the door, it only takes you a matter of seconds to answer the door. So they're still there. They're here. They're at the house. You just got to go answer the door. Then people act like you got a castle. And it's going to take you 2 weeks to get like your house is big as the Detroit airport or the Atlanta airport. And it's going to take you a whole hour just to get over there to them. Look, if somebody's at the door, he's ready to come in. He says, even at the door. So Jesus Christ, we will know when he is coming, even at the door. He is not talking about the tribulation period. Because the tribulation period gives you numbers. God gives you numbers. There should be 70 weeks. I mean,
completing the thing, and then there'd be one more week left, and it's 69 weeks already determined, and there's one more week left, 62 weeks already determined, and then there's 40, and then all of a sudden there's one more week, which is week of 7, which is 1 7-year heptad. So the Jewish people's decade is, ours is 10 years, theirs is 7 years. So there's one more heptad, there's one more decade left for the Jewish people. So God gave all the exact numbers for Jesus to come running, walking in on a donkey, riding the donkey when the donkey's the one walking. He gave the exact time period, folks. So then there's 2,000 years exactly that passed, and then there's a time period where Israel will become a nation. It says a nation should be born in one day. It says in Hosea, the fig tree, calls them the fig tree. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, I'm learning the parable of the fig tree. And then it says, this generation shall not pass till all these things be complete. What's the beginning of the fig tree? The fig tree is the generation, the same year, 1947, 1948. Let's just go with 1947 since it was the declaration. 70 years up. How did you determine 70 years? Psalms 90, verse 10. He said there's 70 years human beings will live, and if you get lucky, you get another 80. And then we fly away. 70 years is the generation. How many people do you see? Do you see people making it up to 100? Yes, some will be on the news. Most of the people get blessed and take care of themselves. I know somebody that smoked and drink and all this other stuff, not personally, but I've heard of somebody do all this stuff and still made it to 100 years old. How do you do that? I don't know. He's probably one of a kind. He probably feels very miserable, too. It is almost incredible that Jesus has become one of the most important figures of our time, or this ever, even in the secular history. Because secular history has these pagan holidays like Christmas and Thanksgiving, and not Thanksgiving, Christmas and Easter, and Halloween, all this other stuff, but Christmas and Easter has been the one that Jesus has been involved in. It's all about him. So the secular society allows Christians to be part of this environment. Now, when y'all listen to this show on archives, I want y'all to think about this. Jesus is the most loved and most hated figure in history. He's also the most talked about. In his book that he is in, which he's the writer of, through the Holy Spirit, through channels of human instruments, he's the most read about person. And that is not including the people who got Bibles on their shelves with dust all over them. Because eventually they have picked up that book. I don't picked up any other books. But the only thing that distinguishes the Bible to other books is that the Bible produces walking epistles. Humans who will be preaching the gospel until he comes, Matthew 28. Go to and preach the gospel, being disciples. Jesus is the only way to God. And he's the only way that can help you break bondages that you are going through, like pornography, looking at pornography. Jesus is the only way. And you must leave all things and come after him and follow him. Do not make any provisions where you say, well, God, if you break me from this, I'll come to you more. You need to go to God more. And then it'll break. Because I see a lot of people say, yeah, I had a lady. I'm going to have to actually, I'm going to take a break. We're going to take a break. I'm going to play a segment from one of my old shows. And then what I'll do is I'm going to call in from another area, and then I'll be back. God bless.
See, Anubis episode is the core of a great pyramid. Now, why is a pyramid on a dollar bill that says, "In God we trust"? Is the does the pyramid represent our God, or does it represent the devil gods? Who uses the pyramid? And it will continue to be led probably by two entities from the east and the west. But we need to listen to the Bible, because it might be controlled by three different entities. And maybe the Antichrist subdues three of the first ten or something like that. We don't know. It's pure speculation. But listen to this, and we'll come back and talk about it.
Welcome back. The Union for the Mediterranean is a dream nurtured by France and pushed forward by President Sarkozy, who's desperately in need of a diplomatic victory. Sarkozy is suffering from a drop in his approval ratings with the French people and must be hoping that some of his foreign policy schemes can help reverse that. He currently heads the EU, and of course...
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Talk about the soon coming of Jesus Christ to the earth to destroy his enemies and set up his long-awaited kingdom. Tonight we will talk about end-time prophecy and what God says will happen in this world. Stay tuned for an amazing show. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, we're back. And it seems like CNN is talking about the earthquake, which is very important to them, because they're talking about it. Only one person died, and that's a blessing by itself. I'm not looking for anybody to die. The only thing I'm looking for is proof that Jesus Christ is coming back. That is not our chief aim, because when people die, people enter eternity. Which is very sad. My son's friend that I took home today, it was just me and him, and I was driving him home, and he had told me, I was witnessing to him, and he had told me about two of his friends. One of them hung themselves, and the other one had some problems, lost a child, and he blamed himself for the first friend hanging himself. And I had told my son's friend, I said, look, don't you think about harming yourself. And I told him straight up, man, that's murder. You know it's murder, right? You don't want to be eternity forever. And sometimes people get, well, you need to take your time. I don't see this guy all the time. So I got to be blunt. And you give him something to think about. Because if you don't think about that, so it can harm you. I mean, of course it can harm you. You can end up in the wrong spot. We don't want to end up in eternity. That's not... We don't want to end up in an eternity in the wrong place. That's not the place we want to go, is hell. And according to Jesus, hell is hot and it's miserable. And it's not something that you can toy with. And a lot of people are not looking at Jesus. But anyway, a lot of people are looking for the next leader. And we're looking for people, someone to come along and save us from all the tribulation and the trials and the problems that we have in society. And a lot of people are looking for that hero. And they're looking past Jesus. They're looking over his shoulder. They're jumping up. Hey, move out the way, Jesus. We're trying to look at somebody, you know, a human being that can make big-time mistakes, and sometimes to harm people. And that's sad. That's sad. The Obama mania was running rampant and still is to a certain extent. I don't remember who said it, but I think it's Spike Lee, or it could have been Justin Jefferson Jr., who said we might have to change AD and BC to after Obama and before Obama. And I'm like, this dude's going to be a joke in the first place, only if you knew. Only if you knew. He was going to be an ultimate joke. At the end, he's either going to be a dictator or a complete joke. He's either going to be the second coming of Adolf Hitler, or he's going to be the second coming of Jimmy Carter, but a lot worse. You see, Jesus will remain I Am. He is the I Am, the Almighty God, the Savior of all mankind. There is nobody else that can come and save us but Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to make the Antichrist look so appealing. That's why it's going to be so appealing. Because people are looking for someone to come in. And see, a lot of people are suffering from all these lustful attitudes and lustful lifestyles. That they don't let God suppress that lust. So what does it say? That it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Spirit of God will give us power over the lust of the flesh. The Word of God will give us power over the lust of the flesh. Putting God first is the number one issue. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. You can walk on the water. Not the literal water, but you can walk through life's problems. Through life storms. And Jesus will give you that power, that strength to do the will of the Father. And you see, we got to give Jesus Christ preeminence in our lives to do the work that he needs to do. He must live in us. John said we must decrease that he must increase. We must put God first, and that's the only way, folks, we're going to get past all the problems of society. How can we get away from watching the TV? How? Well, I'm going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prosperity Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone.
Giving the frequencies for that, because it's shortwave, and wherever the Lord leads us, we got to be going on. I had a couple offers to go on here in Eastern Washington, kind of expensive, so we have to let the Lord lead us into where we're going to be going. You're right about that. He says California is shaking, but not enough. Yeah. God is going to shake everything up pretty soon. And I think Easters are important. Every day is important because every day is the resurrection day because Jesus says, I am. And Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. However, there's going to come to a point where all those messages that people heard on Easter will come to value. Because Jesus says, the word of God says, my word will not return void. And people say, well, why? Well, people only go to church on Easter, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, you got a good point. I can argue both sides. I can argue both sides. No, that's not a problem for me. But the thing I see right now is that God's word will not return void, and I can say that all night. God will use His word in the tribulation period to save those and seek to save those who are lost. So we're going to be looking at that in the coming weeks. But there are earthquakes, man. There are earthquakes all over the place. There's just like Jesus is trying to shake up things. I mean, that's part of the warning that he gave before he was to come back. And I'm still looking for pestilence to starting up again because it started up with the swine flu and a few other ones and it kind of died down, but I'm thinking it's going to start back up again. Now, it could be a product of war. I do believe that the United States is not in Bible prophecy, not in the form that it is now. It's something different. It's not vocal. I mean, you can argue the point that America is in Bible prophecy, but can you argue the point of why it's not vocal? I mean, can you argue the point of why another union, another entity took over? I believe that the entity would be a Mediterranean union, and half of it would be Europe and half of it would be the Middle East and Africa. And I believe that the union would come out of nowhere. See, everybody believes that the European Union is just it. I don't think so. If you look at Daniel chapter 2, the feet has 2 feet, but it also has 2 legs. Now, the Roman Empire was made up of 2 entities. And the 2 entities are East and West. One was ran by Rome, one was ran by Constantinople. And now we have a Mediterranean Union sponsored by Nicolas Sarkozy of France. And the Union, and this is just my interpretation, the Union will be broken up into 5. Regions on both sides. So it'll be broken up into 2 regions, and it'll also be broken up into 5 entities on both wings. So the East and the West will be broken up into 5. So it'll be a core union, and all these countries will be broken up into 5 in the East and 5 in the West. Now, where does the Antichrist come from? This is me, my interpretation. I believe that the Antichrist will come from a regional that the Bible does not cover, but I'm just guessing. He will subdue 3. Now, people think he's going to rip them up and tear them into pieces. No. He comes out as peace. Hold on for a second. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, in the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
stupid to push the wrong button. I thought there was more commercials. But that's fine. I apologize. I went to the... Speaking of the person who I was out in the chat room, I believe the Antichrist will be... I'll tell you this first. Isaiah 17 happens right after Psalms 83. Or in the interlude of that war. That's why Russia responds. It says that I should put hooks in the jaws of Russia. Now Russia, the word is plural. It's hooks. So it could be money, it could be oil, it could be to take booty, to take a plunder. Now, when you look at if the masses are taken out, Syria will play a big role in the end times. I believe, here's who I think the Antichrist is. I don't think he's known. If you listen to my commercials, I think he comes on the scene just like the Mediterranean Sea comes, the Mediterranean Union rises up first. Then the Antichrist comes. But this stuff happens very quickly, within weeks. And what I think can happen, could happen, because the Antichrist may not take over. He may not take over anything right away. Because remember, he conquers in to conquer. He comes in peacefully, but he's conquering in to conquer. So here's what you might want to look at. The Bible calls him the prince that shall come. So he's a prince when he first comes up. So he could be a lineage of the monarch of Syria. Say, well, Syria doesn't have a monarch. Well, it could return. The prince that shall come can be, he could be someone inside of the country who has lineage or claim to the next monarch if they are ever to restore that monarchy to Syria. Then he becomes the king. So he's a prince, then he becomes the king, the honored king. Now, you say, well, that he's a politician. No, he doesn't have to be. He's different from the first. Now, check this out. Europe has a rotation, right? What if the Antichrist is a? What if he takes over Syria, Little Horn, as a king? Then he subdues three, which is a regional. Now the Bible doesn't come out and say this. I'm just guessing, because he subdues three. Now of the first ten. Now remember, it's divided into two wings. And it's also divided into ten. So what if someone is in charge of the Middle Eastern wing, somebody's in charge of the African wing, and somebody's in charge of the European wing? What would that do? Now, what if three of them are in the Middle East, two of them are in Africa, and five are in Europe, and he takes over the three from the Middle East. This is a coincidence. I mean, he subdues. The word subdue is not necessarily ripping up and burning up. Matter of fact, Grant Jeffries was teaching a while back. I remember looking at Grant Jeffries, listening to him, and Grant Jeffries is saying that the Antichrist subdues three. But he's talking about ripping them up and spitting them out in the pieces. The word subdue does not necessarily mean you have to burn up something. Because Adam, remember, was told to subdue. So he could be taking over a region that the European Union and the Mediterranean Union had divided into three. So, just speculation. But anyway, I have a special guest, and we're going to probably extend the show just a couple of minutes afterwards just to, we're going to chit-chat. Well, anyway, his name is Ryan.
Robert?
Ryan Trotter. And it's kind of embarrassing. I didn't know his last name, but it's called him Ryan. But anyway, we're going to be talking about various other subjects real quick. We're going to be talking about his upbringing. You mind talking about that a little bit? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and chit-chat.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio to discuss end-time events, the mind of Jesus Christ's second coming, earthquakes, pestilence, the mark of the beast technology, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dividing of Jerusalem, and much more. Join us for our action-packed information that will keep you informed so you can be ready for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, join us on Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizen can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
We're back. Now, we're going to talk about my buddy grew up in the Mormon church, if you know about the Mormons, they're really aggressive in preaching the Word of God. If you really look at them, they're not hurting to come by your house and try to get you to convert over to them. Now, in my view, and I'll talk to y'all later on my view. Well, right now, I always got an opinion about something. But we're going to go ahead and talk to my boy. I want him to tell us a little bit about his upbringing in the Mormon church.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I was born into the whole Mormon cult thing, and pretty much I think a lot of people get caught up into it because they'll try to appear as though they're real Christians, kind of like, you know, the enemy will present a counterfeit, you know, just being a lie and stuff. And So I think, I mean, that's probably what happened to my parents. They were born into it as well. And I'm sure, you know, whenever someone in my heritage or whatever converted, they they probably had, you know, like you said, they go to door to door. They're pretty aggressive with that, and probably had someone present them, quote unquote, a false gospel message, and you know, appear to be something that they weren't. And the Bible says that there's going to be a lot of like false prophets and people that are, you know, present different gospel. So that's basically what they're doing.
So did your parents force you into going into the church?
No, they didn't force me, but it was just kind of like they have a really well-connected social structure within their own organization, institution, church or whatever you want to call it. But so it's kind of like, you know, if your family is, then you are kind of and everybody you know basically is within that social structure, pretty tightly knit and stuff, and they don't associate too much with a lot of people, like if you're not Mormon or whatever, and so it's like, I mean, unless they'll try to convert people, but then they're not going to tell you, you know, what the true beliefs about it are. Like, it's basically they have these. Their missionaries are taught to present a specific message that, you know, purposely basically omits anything that could be considered controversial or taboo or whatever, you know, because obviously almost everybody knows about polygamy and different things like that. They're not going to come to your door, for instance, and be like, you know, talk about polygamy as one of the first things. It's not going to be the icebreaker, the conversation opener. They're just going to be, they'll be like, hey, we want to present you a message about Jesus Christ and everything. And they really like to use his name a lot, but, you know, they're not talking about, they're not describing the same, you know, Jesus that the Bible is talking about and everything. And, but yeah, basically they'll come and they'll just be like, try to appear Christian, and really, really they're not and everything. So.
Yeah, but yeah, but so they're pretty much aggressive in what they do. They that what people out there need to remember, though, is that and I think a lot of people don't, is that Mormons have no opposition. And what I mean by that is that the enemy will let the Mormons go ahead and present their false gospel. And a lot of people say, well, why ain't a lot of Christians going door to door? First of all, maybe it's not God's way of doing it. And then second of all, there is an enemy who do not want the word of God truly presented. So that's what I said before, anybody, and including myself, before anybody criticize anybody, I think churches need to grit their teeth and get out there. Because I think what's going on is there is opposition, and they've been misguided by leadership in the church, and Satan will put you to sleep in a heartbeat just by doing that Dr. Spock chokehold and putting you to sleep, and then the gospel would be a doormat. I've been to churches before who... and it's good because Andrew was invited to come and see Jesus by his brother Philip. I think that was the order it was. But anyway, inviting is cool, but the Mormon church has a lot of zeal, and I kind of envy that as far as the church is concerned, because I've been to Spokane, Washington for a while, and only one person has came up to me, and actually two people have come up to me in my 5 years here to offer me the gospel. And I think that's a shame. I mean, I think that's really a shame. Now where did you grow up at, man?
I was born in Missoula, Montana, and kind of grew up in between, you know, I lived there for a little while, and then I also lived in, there's a small town about 45 miles south of there. It's in the Bitterroot Valley. It's called Hamilton. For the most part, I'd say I grew up basically in the Bitterroot Valley, you could say. Went to high school in Hamilton. And there's a pretty high, I'd say pretty high concentration of, I don't know, Northwest in general and, you know, Utah, anywhere, you know, and then you've got Nevada. So it's pretty, it's changed throughout the region pretty good as far as the Mormon population, diaspora, whatever you want to call it. So,
yeah, so we're going to have you back on our show, man. That's kind of like an editorial more than an interview. But, yeah, we're going to have Brother Ryan back on that show and in the coming days. We're going to try to have – we're going to probably end up having a later show on Thursdays, like 10 o'clock maybe for about 30 minutes, just to give the news and what's going on. I think that's important. I might even just have one every day if I can get down here. It might be kind of off balance, maybe 10:30 here, 10 o'clock here, 11 o'clock here. But, yeah, because I have a feeling we're headed for some strange ordeals in the next 24 months. And I say 24 to be on the safe side. I don't come out here and say Jesus is coming back tomorrow, you know. But let's get one thing straight, though, and I think – need to get this thing straight is that credibility, don't get credibility twisted with prophecy. I mean, what I mean by prophecy is prophetic prophecy. So, for instance, if I say to you, Jesus is coming back tomorrow, and then he doesn't come back, am I a false prophet? Or if I come to you and say, God told me Jesus is coming back tomorrow, then what you say is he's a false prophet because it didn't happen. But if somebody comes up to you and says well, I got this article out of such and such magazine that says Jesus might come back tomorrow, what do you say about that person? Well, you can say that his credibility is gone, but in that case, you would have to go out and find all kinds of people who predict the future. And these people are, you have them on the football, like for instance, the NFL, prognosticators. You've got to say, well, I think Butler is going to lose tomorrow against Duke. Well, are you a false prophet? Because Butler won? I mean, come on. I mean, now it depends on the individual if they're going to allow themselves to say that individual's credibility is messed up. I don't think it's something that we should hang over somebody's head, because every day somebody says something of some type to predict the future. If you don't come in the house, you're going to catch a cold. Well, is the mother a false prophet? Or is the kid saying, your credibility is messed up now, Mom? And then 2 days later, he goes outside and catches a cold. Does that make any sense? No, not really. But we got to remember out here, changing the subject, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's also the truth. The power of God will deliver any man and woman from bondages. That same resurrection power can be working in your life. And we have to practice the presence of the Lord. He has to be walking inside of us, through us. The presence of God must be in your very room that you're in. And it must be everywhere you go. He's omnipresent. So with that being said, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we have to follow that commandment that he had illustrated to that individual. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second one was like it. Love your neighbors yourself. Now, are those easy? No. But when your focus is on the Lord, pornography would not, I mean, eventually if you take your eyes off the Lord, it's going to come back. But your human will must be there. That's why he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because and it also says a man confess, believe in his heart the Lord Jesus and confess with his mouth, he'll be saved. But that's a continual belief. So both the heart and the brain, you must have heart surgery and you must have brain surgery, and you must repent and turn to God in order to live a holy life. You cannot do it on your own. It's impossible. It's impossible. And there's so many people, the reason why I keep saying masturbation is because there's so many people in the church who are doing it. I mean, because it's running rampant to the church, and God loves us. God does not want us, any man, to perish. And see, masturbation is just a cop-out from cheating on your wife. It's just a cop-out from, if you're single, oh, I don't have to get married, I just do this and I'm good. The Bible says make no provision for the flesh to give in to the flesh that we fall. Because these are the end times. We don't have the time, folks. We have to go to the Lord and break these things and do His will. Okay? We have to. We have to, ladies. Because if we don't, we got to be in trouble. And always remember, though, if you're suffering, I mean, if you have any devices that still have you in bondage, God is still going to use you. He still can use anybody. Okay, you can use anybody. But also remember what I said earlier. You have a choice. I mean, there's the fruit. There's the soup. And there is the 30 pieces of silver. And what I mean by that is the fruit that was in the gardens made somebody slip up. The soup made Esau slip up. And the 30 pieces of silver made Esau made Judas Iscariot trip up. And not to mention Delilah for Samson. I mean, I can go on to Bathsheba for David. I mean, we make our own choices. And if you read Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, God is there. He is there. But listen to what we do. Read Psalm 51 tonight. God, if you have a remorseful heart and your mind is set on Jesus, you can stop these devices, smoking. Okay, I had a lady on the show a couple months ago. She was very active on the show. And I mentioned smoking. That was the last time she'd been on the show. She don't want to give that soup up. It's ridiculous to sell your birthright. And I understand the salvation of the birthright. But you are to take your time of God. And it's ridiculous to sell your birthright for some cigarettes. And when a brother or sister get offended because another brother said, hey, bro, hey, sis, you need to put that cigarette down. I mean, the Bible says that salvation comes with many offenses. So we have to remember that. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, well, remember this real quick. Mark 10:29, verily I say to you, there is no man that hath left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake in the gospel. I mean, you have to be willing to set those things aside. If a cigarette is worth your eternal soul, is a 40-ounce worth your total soul, is drugs worth your eternal soul, or is it sitting on the couch eating bun buns, watching the NFL, and I'm stepping on my own toes? Is that worth it? You have to put the Lord God your friend. Ask the Lord not to deliver you. And stick in there, hang in there until both your will meets His will. We self-will, we self-will hate. God bless. We'll be on the other side. God bless. Okay, for those remaining in the chat room, thank you very much for showing up. I didn't even advertise, and some people was in there. So that's a God bless. I'll start next week. I'll be on WWCR North America. So I'll be giving out the frequencies for that. I don't think I'm even going to be talking the way I talk. I'm sort of like still froze up from Blog Talk Radio. I have no idea why. But a lot of these shows can be private. But you can listen to those shows. Caller, sorry. I apologize for not answering. I might have to be in a little bit more controlled environment before I start answering any phone calls. I had some bad experiences, so I apologize for that. God be with everybody out there. We are in the end times, folks. We are there. I'm just ain't going to come out and tell you when, but like I was saying earlier, well, my friend just came over, Ryan just came over, and I knew he was at the door. The Bible says that we would know when Jesus Christ is at the door. I hate it when people say we don't know the day and hour. It's just a cop-out. Right now, I don't know the day and hour for next year's Super Bowl, but I know a general time frame is then. I know when it's at the door. And that's why you're having all these earthquakes. And you're right. A lot of people are right to say, well, you shouldn't know this, because a lot of people made false alarms, false calls, false this, false that. But what we fail to realize is that these people are excited to see their Lord come. Blessed is the Bible talks about a man receiving rewards for watching for Jesus Christ coming and caring that he's coming, being happy that he's coming. A lot of church folks that's more on fire for me than I am are not caring if Jesus Christ come, because they want to see Billy Joe get graduated from high school, and they want to see Mary Lou and John have their first third baby. Now, come on now. Three babies? I mean, nothing bad about babies. I love babies. I'm making a point. You already saw the first two. I mean, see the other one in heaven. there are people getting murdered, kids getting aborted. I mean, people gossip. I heard my neighbors is arguing today. Just gossip at work. I mean, I look at the, and the bad thing is I look at everything half full. I look at the glass half full. It sounds like I'm complaining, but I'm serious. I mean, you can look at the glass half full and say, well, time still time up. I mean, come on. I mean, you can have a giant banquet at your house and have a good time and know everybody got to go to work the next day. I mean, you know, you got to know when the time is up. I mean, geez. I mean, I have a good life. I'm half full of joy of the Lord. But at the same time, for other people, I need to get out of my box and say, you know what, God, I pray that you wrap this thing up. The Bible says that we should pray that we should escape the coming judgment. And it also prays that his kingdom come. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Folks, don't get comfortable down here. Because for most of us, for a lot of Christians, the party is getting started. For a lot of the other ones, the horror is getting started. Because there's going to be a lot of people in the church of Laodicea getting left behind. People think they're saved. People, and Easter, I talked to y'all earlier. Listen to the archives. Easter is important. God's word will not return back void. But a lot of people getting dressed up to go to church for Easter. God's word will not return void. He could take 10 Easters that you went to and get you saved in the tribulation period. But the problem is, it's the tribulation period. You know? So I will never down Easter. I like Easter. Easter is cool. I mean, Easter has its own chemical balance to it. It's weird. Christmas has its own personality. Thanksgiving has its own personality. And God can use every single one of those to bring us to Christ. So don't shortcut a pagan holiday, because you know Easter. Hey, you ain't never seen no rabbit give out eggs, have eggs. You know that has to be some type of a form of paganism. You know, you just have to know that. But anyway, God bless y'all. I'm going to start having guests back on again. And we're going to be seeing y'all next week. So God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful night.